Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
Ah, yes, and he hates poor people. And he'd carry a gun. Jesus would be packing. If you listen to Franklin Graham Jr., or what was it? What's it? Jerry Falwell Jr. If you listen to Falwell Jr., that's what he... Thank goodness we take out those... We live in certainly most crazy times. Anyway, today in New York City, you remember last week the story of Francisco Frankie Boy Cali, who was gunned down outside, I guess it was outside his home in Staten Island, by this 24-year-old guy. Evidently, the 24-year-old had his hearing today, and it was noted that he had on his hand, I'm not sure if it was a tattoo or if it was an ink, MAGA forever and united we stand MAGA. So literally, a murderer with a MAGA stamp on his hand. And I guess, look, you know, is this the Trump effect? Is this, you know, all the calls for violence? Did this guy just decide one day, I'll take out a mob guy? And they're saying it wasn't mob related. So you go, what was it? I cannot wait to find out. Also, he made a reference to the Patriots, another reason not to like the Patriots. So there is that. Anyway, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Our good friend Propane Jane. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
It's been a while. The craziness, the craziness has ramped up.
Yeah, it has. This is what happens when we go on break.
It does. It seems like anytime I take some time off, everything just goes cuckoo.
Yeah.
Let's start with the weekend. What the hell was that?
You mean instability in chief?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know how else to put that. I am so, you know, I woke up Sunday and I'm watching tweet after tweet. I'm going, what is wrong with you? I couldn't help but think for like an hour, what is wrong with you? Stop it. You're ruining my Sunday, damn it.
He can't stop it. I mean, he's a sociopath. This is what he is. This is who he is. He can't control it. No matter how many, you know, people advise him to do something different or how bad the press gets, this is the way he functions and has always functioned, and he's not going to stop simply because he occupies the White House right now.
Yeah, but man, I look at this and they just go, you know, at some point, folks, and the fact that George Conway is now the person leading the charge to question his sanity, you know, hello. I mean, as I'm reading this guy's tweets and I'm going, this is one of the weirdest marriages ever. As I'm reading these tweets, I'm going, haven't you been listening to Propane Jane for the last 2 years? You know, we've been talking about antisocial personality disorders for a long time. We've been talking about, you know, his narcissistic personality disorders for 2 years now. Where you been, George?
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing. You know, the interesting thing to me, like, aside from the marriage and, you know, to be a fly on the wall in that house, is these are things that, yes, we've been saying for a long time, but it's something that, you know, going back to that first podcast that we did, people have such a hard time believing it. Even though it's playing out in front of their eyes, you know, there's this denial factor and almost like a shutdown factor where people don't even want you talking about it. So I do think it's interesting that as a conservative, he's saying these things. I'm not really sure what his, like, primary motivation is and how he has managed himself all this time being married to somebody who's his number one spokesperson. And so I think that's why people are kind of distrusting of what he's even doing and how this plays into the whole picture. Because even though what he's saying is true, it just seems hypocritical coming from him.
No,
I don't know
how
they're going to reconcile that.
I get that. But, you know, here's the thing. He's attacking a dead guy. Come on. I mean, you know, I was never a John McCain fan, but, you know, he's kind of my hero now. He's gotten 7 months of free rent in this guy's head.
Well, a dead guy can't attack back.
No, I get that, but he's still thinking about a dead guy.
Yeah, because that dead guy, as we've talked about before, and the idea that he is a war hero and that Trump is somebody who, you know, had all these deferments, didn't actually go and fight in that war, you know, I think he feels self-conscious about that, and he feels insecure, and he feels inadequate. So any chance he gets to sully the image of John McCain, he's going to jump at it. And I think the other piece of it, you know, that's really important is that, you know, he's tying all of this to the Mueller investigation and the dossier, and he still is holding a very strong grudge against anyone who is going down that road in terms of the Mueller investigation. He kept saying, you know, it should never have happened. You know, this should just be over. You know, he's so fixated on what he perceives as a witch hunt and something that's totally illegitimate because it threatens to, you know, reveal him to the world, to reveal whatever crimes he may have committed, and to actually prove to the world that he isn't as great as he, you know, purports himself to be, and that his whole presidency, quote unquote, is a lie. And I think he's so fearful of that discovery and he's so fearful of that revelation that he's going to continue to be fixated on it, especially as the specter of the final report coming out looms above his head.
Yeah, and it's coming. I mean, that's, you know, as I was reading these tweets, I'm going, the Mueller report's got to be coming soon. I mean, this didn't just come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And you know, not only, you know, ranting and raving about a dead guy, but ranting and raving about a TV rerun.
Yeah.
I mean, really? weren't you angry the first time? And how can you be this angry the second time you watched it? I mean, I don't even watch reruns. Damn.
But he's a malignant narcissist, okay? So he is someone who, you know, at his core is very narcissistic. And people have to understand that narcissism is actually rooted in self, in low self-esteem.
Right.
Okay? It is a complete defense mechanism to ward against those feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. So anytime he's criticized, anytime he's made fun of, he takes it so personally that he has to go out and attack the people who are saying that about him. He can't just let it go. His skin is so thin that he has to wage a war of words in response to whatever criticism is aimed his way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was looking at the things that George Conway was tweeting out, and you know, you just go down the list of all the, you know, like the narcissistic personality mm-hmm. disorder, you know, mm-hmm. grandiose self sense of self importance, preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, and I'm going yes, yes, believes he/she is special. Oh, damn, yes. You just go down the list. I go, did they write this after looking at him? I mean, because yes, yes, check, check, check. You go, that's. Did we not see this before?
Well, and, you know, sitting where I sit as a psychiatrist, you know, when I started saying these things in November and December of 2016, I got a lot of pushback, and yeah. I told you about it, you know, yeah. that people were, how dare you? How can you say this about him? You've never personally examined him, et cetera, et cetera. But when you know the criteria and you can look at someone's behavior and you can look at, you know, show after show after show, you know, with clips of his behavior, and then you hear about his lifelong history in business and his personal life, all of those things, you know, the dots get connected, and you go, okay, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing him exhibit all of these maladaptive character traits that are listed in the DSM. I mean, that's why we have it, you know, and scientists have spent decades, you know, honing this criteria to really meet what we see in the clinical world. And unfortunately, you know, we have this man who is masquerading as the president of the United States who exhibits all of these character traits. And no matter how much the mental health community has warned people about what we see, the people who are in power, who are in control, aren't doing anything meaningful to intervene.
Yeah. What do you say to the people? Because, you know, every time they talk about this, and it's been the entire 2 years, They bring on someone who says, you know, I think this is what's wrong with him, and this, and then they bring another psychiatrist on to say, well, you know, you really can't diagnose him unless he's in the room with you. And I'm going, I don't know that I believe that. I don't know if you sitting across the room for somebody for an hour or 2 hours is going to give you any better sense of who they are than having seen them for years in front of us doing some of the most insane stuff. I mean, he is who we see. We've got more body of evidence than you could possibly collect in 2 hours in a face-to-face meeting. At least as a layperson, that's my view.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, the psychiatrists who do that are into the underpinnings of the Goldwater Rule, which, you know, came about in the context of Barry Goldwater's run for president, where psychiatrists were surveyed, and the overwhelming majority of them spoke out and said this man wouldn't be fit to be president because he exhibits these certain personality traits.
Right.
And the Goldwater camp felt like the psychiatry community speaking out in that way ruined his chances of becoming president. So they got super litigious, and then the American Psychiatric Association, in response to that, to, you know, CYA, basically came out with this rule to placate these people, that basically put a muzzle over the psychiatry community and said, well, you can't do this anymore. You can't, you know, see a public figure, see their behavior, and speak on it if you haven't interviewed them personally.
Yeah, heaven forbid we want smart people to warn us about crazy people. Yeah, heaven forbid.
Exactly, exactly. And so ultimately, the people who are doing that are trying to stay in line with that rule. But ultimately, you know, when you look at the dangers that are posed by this person and you look at the risk to world safety, not just safety here in the United States, the duty to warn, the duty to protect people and inform the public really supersedes all of that, like, you know, concern about getting sued. And so I think that, you know, the psychiatrists who are speaking out, some of them don't necessarily belong to the APA. So they don't, you know, they're like, that rule doesn't apply to me. I'm one of those people. And I wouldn't let something like that stop me from doing what I could to live up to my duty to the public, to protect the public. But again, I think that the people who are kind of doing the you know, those people are just looking over their shoulder and not wanting to be sued is kind of my mentality.
Now, I get that, which is why, you know, whenever they pop up, I go, well, hello, where you been for the last 2 years? you know, there have been people talking about this because, you know, this is not new. It's just getting worse. And the fact that George Conway is coming out and saying, look, he's getting worse. You know, it was bad to start with. And I got to wonder, you know, is that a bit of, you know, she's told him things. Because I got to imagine they talk about her, their days. And
right.
I got to imagine that she vents or something, you know, something. I mean,
Yeah. And are they kind of playing this where, you know, she gets to be the good cop that says, oh, no, I don't feel that way. I don't agree.
Right.
But, you know, behind the scenes, she's, you know, when they're in their pillow talk, she's basically venting and dishing about how horrible he is behind closed doors. And this is how he's choosing to sort of, you know, free her from the menace. It's a really roundabout way of doing it. I seem to recall that Hillary Clinton stood up during the campaign and said, hey, this man is temperamentally unfit to lead. And she said that then in response to his tweets. She said it then in response to his behavior. And again, everybody looked at her like she was the, you know, one who was out of her mind.
Yeah.
I think people just don't want to believe what they don't want to believe.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, but, you know, I look at this and there's no day that goes by. I go, you know, I miss Barack Obama. I miss the, you know, I miss the fact that I didn't have to hear from him for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't even know he was doing his thing. The country wasn't devolving. We were moving forward. Things were slowly improving. We were on a good path. And I wasn't worried about, you know, nuclear war.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of the reason why there is this constant chaos, this constant back and forth, Trump is always picking a fight with someone, is because he can't do the work. It's because he is incompetent, and he doesn't have, you know, an actual vision for how to do the job that he's been tasked with doing. And so to fill in that space, he's doing these emotional battles constantly. And that's what makes a news cycle. You know, now we're not talking about whatever new policy or whatever legislation is going to come to his desk, because basically Congress is in a gridlock.
Yep.
And he's not doing anything but, you know, these executive orders and national emergencies that are just, I think, an extension of his white nationalist, racist feelings that he has on the inside. I don't necessarily think that they are an organized policy. But again, it's just nothing to fill the void.
Yeah, I guess he's just bored. And he, executive time got a little bored, so he thought he would tweet some angry things out.
Exactly. What else is he going to do?
Oh, give him a Rubik's Cube.
You know, he's a caged animal.
You know, give him a dirty magazine and some Kleenex. I don't know. Something productive, please.
Well, that may not be working the way he wants it to work.
Again, I don't know, but, you know, something. Does it have to always be this kind of, you know, here's the thing that gets me. When your chief of staff has to come out and say, no, the administration is not racist. No, we're not white supremacists. You know you're losing.
Well, of course you're losing, and it's moot for them to even say that. I mean, they contradict themselves when they say things like that, because we now have a whole, you know, portfolio to look at in terms of how he behaves towards non-white people
and
how he behaves towards white people.
We've got terrorists who are citing him in their manifestos.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, you don't need to say anything more than terrorists are citing him as part of the reason.
Yeah, and he can't talk about that, so he has to change the subject. I mean, this whole McCain thing and SNL and this tear that he's been on, that all started in this moment of, you know, the world looking to him for some degree of leadership, particularly because he was named in the manifesto.
Now, do you really think they were looking to us for any leadership now?
I think that people are hoping that America will get its act together.
That will be on January 20th, 2021, I hope.
The same way they were looking to us with this Boeing jet. You know, this is a jet that's made in America. The rest of the world is looking at us like, okay, are you going to ground these planes? Ultimately, we're the last one to say we're going to ground the plane. And so this comes on the heels of that fiasco that he didn't handle well at all. And he continually proves that he's unable to rise to the challenge that's before him. And so in lieu of doing anything productive, anything meaningful, anything that represents leadership, he just goes into these temper tantrums and fights other people so that he has a distraction and he feels powerful. You know, it's a moment where he feels very weak and he feels scared, and internally he feels like he can't do anything to fix a situation. So when all else fails, I'll just start a fight and change the conversation.
Cause chaos. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I wanted to get a couple of your other thoughts. Some other things have popped up. I don't know if you saw this Steve King tweet that was posted and then deleted. Evidently, you know, he's got a lot of time on his hands since having all of his committee assignments taken from him, you know, over his, you know, nationalist white supremacist rhetoric. He's got all this, but the image that he sent out, if you haven't seen it, is the, I guess, like, it looks like two boxers, you know, one punching the other in the gut. One's red states. One boxer's made up of red states. One's boxer, the one getting hit, is made up of blue states. And the words say, folks keep talking about another civil war. One side has about 8 trillion bullets, while the other side doesn't know which bathroom to use. And he tweeted out, "Wonder who would win." And he tweeted it out, I guess, without realizing that his state was losing. Now he's deleted it, but, you know, this is almost like a fantasy for these people that, you know, the red states who have all the guns are going to take out all the blue states who don't have any guns. Which I got to tell you, I was shocked to see Pennsylvania in the state with no guns, because if you remember, Obama, you know, said, you know, they clinched their guns because there are a lot of guns in this state.
Right.
Again, it's just kind of this weird kind of setup that they're almost fantasizing for violence, for chaos in the streets.
Right, right. And I think, you know, that is an extension of a lot of what we just talked about with Trump. Again, these are people who are looking at sweeping demographic change taking place. They're looking at a Congress that has more women in it than it's ever had before, right? More people from diverse backgrounds. And they're seeing this, you know, the pinnacle that they've always imagined of this white man, conservative white man being on top. They're seeing that fall apart. And so in their frantic, you know, sort of realization that they're losing control, the only thing they can do is spark chaos and spark division. And the way that they you know, imagine doing that is always like this insurrection and violence and guns. This is why you see these terrorist attacks by right-wing extremists and white supremacists. That is their way of, you know, having some level of self-defense against multiculturalism and diversity. And this idea in their minds that diversity is white genocide, they see the diversity, you know, there, it's like a cognitive distortion. They see that as an attack. And so in their mind, the only way to meet that attack is with violence and oppression and subjugation. And the Muslim ban and the border wall, you know, it just goes on and on and on. As a Southerner, as a Texan, it's always been apparent to me that there are people who really buy into the idea of the South rising again.
Right.
That's something that's never gone away.
Going to win this time.
Right.
No, I had a neighbor. We had a neighbor when I first moved here. He was a Civil War enactor, and, you know, he had a cannon in his living room, flew the big blue X, you know, the whole nine yards. And he truly believed he was, in fact, his rant to me about being an enactor and not a reenactor was that they were going to change the ending. And I said, you do know we've got, you know, bigger bombs and better guns. You're not going to fight the exact same battles over again, which he seemed kind of disappointed about. But, you know, there are those people that, you know, they think, you know, we're going to do it right this time.
Well, and one of those people is Trump, right? Because one of the other things he said within the last week was that he's got, you know, bikers for Trump on his side. Yeah. He's got the military on his side.
No, he doesn't.
These are people who firmly believe because they've bought into this idea that the Republican Party controls the military and is the, you know, foreign policy power, that because they are so embedded in our armed forces that somehow those people would take the side of the insurgents, the white supremacists, the white nationalists, whatever you want to call them. And they really do believe that. And I think that the other piece of this is that when you do look at these terrorist attacks and you do look at, go back to the DHS report from 2009 that Janet Napolitano released, a major piece of that report said that a lot of these extremists are going to be ex-military. They are going to be people who are well-armed and well-trained, and they are going to use what they've learned in the U.S. Armed Forces against the public. And we've seen that. We've actually seen that play out, certainly not at a mass scale, but we have seen, you know, these mass shootings that are happening in various pockets of society. And I do think that those people are taking this as an opportunity to puff their chest out and say, hey, we see all this change you're trying to make happen, but we want to scare you. And we want to remind you that we do have all these guns and that white men are most likely to have all these guns. And they're not necessarily wrong about that.
No, they're most certainly, and I've been saying it for years. I've been telling my liberal friends, you might want to think about buying guns because, you know, the right seems to have them all. All these crazy people who, you know, I often tell the story about when I first moved to Pennsylvania and there was a guy who, you know, gave the most X-rated fantasy speech about shooting something that I've ever heard. I mean, it was pornographic in the detail that his mind went, you know, how he was going to whip out his big gun and he was going to, you know, and it was just, it was one of these things where I'm going, wow, you're twisted.
Yeah.
I said, just remind me to stay away from you. But, you know, and I found out he was not alone. And there are those people out there. And that's, you know, that's scary for society.
Yeah, it is. It's scary for society. And I think this is a really scary time because our adversaries, in particular Russia and Putin, long time ago when Barack Obama was elected the first time and they saw the Tea Party and they saw the, you know, upheaval that was happening, particularly with white Americans, and they thought, okay, this could lead to a civil war. This could lead to such division in this country, just the fact that there's a black president for the first time in American history. And that is the moment that they honed in on our election system and how they could really infiltrate the Republican Party by way of the NRA. And they tied all of that together because we are vulnerable in that sense. In 1865, they didn't just walk away and go, okay, we lost, you know, we're completely changing our mindset. They still had their weapons, and they still had their mentality, and they passed it down generation to generation to generation, and they're still living that out to this day. And when you have somebody like Trump in the White House, you know, sending out dog whistles, sending out very overt racist messages, they hear all of that, and they feel empowered and emboldened by it. And until, you know, we get rid of him and we actually denounce him as well as the entire movement that put him there, they're going to continue to feel that way, and they're going to continue to act out because they feel they have the power and the leeway to do it under this president.
No, that's scary stuff. Last thing I got to get from you. You know, one of the things he ranted about was this Jeanine Pirro or Pirro or whom I, you know, I can't imagine how you could sit and listen to her for more than 2 minutes with that, just that bizarre, the delivery, the voice. I don't know how you listen to that, but she's been suspended, I guess, for a bit of time for her rant. But the news came out that Fox News, was actually hiring former DNC chair Donna Brazile. As I read that, I'm going, I can't imagine the first time she goes on to see all the people's heads explode, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I think it's ridiculous that she's doing that. I don't understand at all what she's doing.
No, oh, okay. See, she's saying, you know, we got to talk to the other side. And look, when I was trying to get into Sirius, I said, I want to be on Sirius Patriot. I don't want to be on the Progress Station. I want to go and talk to the crazy people. There's part of me that goes, I get why she's doing it, but the fact that Fox News would hire her, especially given all the things that have happened, is just kind of entertaining to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the one hand, I understand it from a standpoint of she needs a paycheck. So, and Fox, I understand, pays people pretty handsomely to go on that network and be a part of the charade. So, yes. Okay, fine, she's going to make some money off of it. But in terms of actually reaching a certain segment of that audience and trying to somehow educate them or present a side that they're going to, you know, suddenly see the light, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, everybody that they bring on that is to the left of center, they basically just use that person as a punching bag.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, good luck to her, but I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I give her credit for, you know, for being willing to go into that, but I just thought it was hysterical.
Did you hear that New Zealand pulled one of Murdoch's networks off the air after the attack?
I had heard that. Yeah, they're also doing away with assault weapons within 10 days, and you go, you know, as my wife pointed out, you know, Columbine happened when 20
right.
years ago almost.
Right.
And we haven't done anything.
Right.
They get stuff done in 10 days.
Exactly. It's embarrassing that we aren't on that level. But I do think, just in reference to Fox News, we really have to start looking at the effect that network is having in terms of radicalizing all of the people that we just were talking about a few moments ago.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Have to think about that.
I'm with you. Jane, always great talking with you. Always entertaining. Thanks for the time.
You too. Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. Big fun. I love our friend Propane Jane. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. 7 years and I'll go.